This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hi, voice.
I'm very happy to see you.
Happy to see you as well, Chris.
What'd you do today?
GERD. Well,
GERD?
From my... I have GERD. I was just thinking, because one of my leftover, I don't think I have long COVID, but I know I have, I got the worst COVID of the two that people are getting right now. One's short and one is taking a while.
Yes.
So mine's taking a while. So I still have some of my taste buds aren't working in the way where coffee tastes very bad to me in a way it never has in my life. I drink black coffee in the morning and I can't, it's, all of the good parts of drinking black coffee have been removed, and it just tastes like hot, gross water.
That is all. I have, my friend Lance has lost a bunch of weight. He hasn't been able to taste, and it's worse than that. He can't taste much for like a year and a half now, and he's like a skinny guy.
Oh, okay.
And he said bacon and thing like meat, like savory things that he used to always eat, taste awful or have no taste at all to him.
Well, and that happened to me. Okay, wait, so the point, why did I say GERD? Because the point was, what was the point?
I thought that was a phrase like EGADS or something else from a Kathy cartoon. I didn't know what that word meant.
Oh, I was saying, it was like I was saying, oh God, but I changed the word. But there is actually a medical condition called GERD, which is has something to do with like acid reflux.
Oh, okay.
Which is what made me laugh about it. But tell your friend Lance, this is important, because my sister sent me this TikTok that basically if you get someone else to flick you on the back of the head, it is a proven way that people are getting their sense of taste back.
No.
I swear,
I'll send you... That sounds like something I would say, and you would say, there's no way. Stop yes. making things
And
up.
I would say, Chris, stop believing everything you read on TikTok.
Although I will add, be careful when you do that. Don't be making a goofy face, because it'll stick that way.
That's right. But you will have your taste. You can have so much bacon.
What is it that is insane to me? That
it's
sounds
really
like...
weird, but a doctor is the person explaining it, and it's something about that's the... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know at all, and I was about to make... I love to make up the reason, but it's what I think, but it's not the truth.
Well, there's subtle things like that that trigger massive changes. Like the time Jimmy Pardo said he had Bell's palsy for like a year. Like the half of his face went numb.
Yeah.
Like he had had a stroke, and he got it from a fan blowing on him.
Huh.
Doesn't that sound like something I'm making? It sounded like something he was making up. And I'm like, seriously? And he said, yes, oftentimes a light wind on your face is what triggers Bell's palsy.
I thought it was a virus.
I swear that's what he said. If the word virus, you also have to have the virus. I'm leaving out that
part. And then
part.
Please don't go to the Grand Canyon. Please don't go to any outlooks or outcroppings or lighthouses.
Yes.
Because the wind will give you Bell's palsy. Well, but if your friend is really suffering with this, like my sister sent me this video immediately and I was like, I'm going to wait and just see if I can kind of get my bad eating in control because
right.
I have been drinking coffee almost like against my will in the morning, and then I just have no appetite. And when I do go, oh, I think I'm actually hungry, because I can't tell. My eating is so disordered that I eat cyclically and habitually as opposed to my body feels hungry, now I feed it, and then I wait until it's hungry again. It doesn't work like that for me.
Uh-huh.
So without having taste, like there's no satisfaction. There's no like, ooh, I'm going to pop one of those in my mouth. It's just like, it's just a job. You have to chew some weird thing and it's all texture.
Oh my God, I'm sorry. That sounds awful.
It's weird, but I don't mind it. I will say this, it's better for me and the way that I do things. But the other night I was like, well, I'm hardly eating anything. So I'm going to eat, I get ice cream. That was my logic.
Because sweet things you can taste, right? My friend told me he can taste like candies and things like that.
For me, the taste, it's the only way I can describe it is the sensation is like, because I know what it tastes like. I eat the same thing over and over and I like very specific things.
Yeah.
So if I'm eating Ben and Jerry's Chubby Hubby, which was what I was eating, I know what I'm supposed to be tasting. So it's very difficult for me to know whether or not I'm tasting it or not because I can remember and the texture and da-da-da.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, when I had this in my mouth, it was like, God, I think this says freezer burn. This seems stale. There's something wrong with this ice cream. And
texturally,
I kept doing that, like bite after bite, until I finally went, you can't actually taste it. You're just experiencing the texture and you don't like the texture without the taste, without
man.
The flavors.
That is Twilight Zone scary to me.
It's very strange.
My other friend Kurt he also had an inability to taste, and he's gained weight because he was chasing flavor. He was out there flavor chasing.
And I relate.
Yeah. So he said he had gained weight because of this inability to taste.
Kind of going around and like, maybe this will work. Maybe this will work.
Yeah.
Right?
It's, yeah. And I feel for him. I'm glad I just got this eyeball rash that's jumping to the other eye. I mean, that's all I really have to brag about.
And you can console yourself with a nice slice of pizza. Or I was eating nachos last night and I'm like, these are the worst nachos I've ever had. And then I'm like, no, they're good. I've loved them before.
Yeah.
It's because I'm only experiencing crunch, bean softness, salsa, like wetness. Like it's such a weird thing. It's so hard to explain.
I would be eating chips and pico de gallo. I would be eating texture explosions.
Yes. I've been doing a lot of tortilla chips by themselves.
Yeah,
because
just to feel
stuff
something.
On it. Yeah, just so, because that I think salt is coming through. But I was explaining to my sister that it's like the flavor is just around the corner. Like I know the idea of what I'm supposed to be tasting, and it's just kind of right over there, but I can't get to it.
Yeah. And you don't know
how
long the road is before that corner.
Yeah. This sidewalk could be hundreds of miles long, this sidewalk.
Well, just so you know, both my friends, it is gradually coming back, but literally more than a year.
God damn.
But that was back, no vaccine, Delta spirit.
Yeah. Right. That's what happened to my sister's friend, Adrienne. She was one of the very first people that we knew that got COVID in quarantine, like month two. We were all scared shitless. We thought she was going to die. We thought something horrible was going to happen. She was scared shitless. But the only good thing was she and her son got it. Like he got it because he went camping with his friends, walked in the door, and then got a text. And it said, I have COVID. So that means you have COVID. And so he's like, I have COVID, which means you have COVID to her. So then they kind of got to quarantine together, which is cute.
Yeah.
But he did not lose his taste and she did. So every night he'd be like, hey, what should we get? And be all excited because they had nothing else to do. They were just kind of trapped in the house. And one of the main distractions was completely off the table. And she said she would do things like, oh, I'll just eat yogurt. That'll be a good way to get protein. And it was so disgusting to have flavorless, that texture with no flavor.
It's just hilarious. I really would hate to eat a banana if I couldn't taste it. Because texture-wise, bananas are the worst. Just
pretty
a mouthful
gross.
Of mush. You think of someone else and when your kids opening, do you like seafood? And they open their mouth and there's banana in there. I'm still traumatized by that. Plus, bananas have veins on them that peel off. Bananas are really just, my sister hates them. They trigger gag reflex.
What about the kids in grammar school that would have like a medium brown banana in their lunch bag that would make everything else smell like banana in the like cloak room.
Yeah, I felt bad for those kids. They obviously had a bumpy bus ride to school.
they had an abusive father who used to beat up the bananas.
At least it's not you, kid, just punching a bunch of bananas.
Yeah, I just had four bananas go bad because every time I'd look at them, I'd be like, well, you could fry them up. You could do this. You could make a banana bread. I'm just like, no, it won't work.
Yeah. I buy bananas just to watch them die.
Yeah.
Often I do that.
Yeah.
Because they really complete a kitchen counter, just aesthetically. I like the look of bananas, and then I never get around to eating them.
Well, you know what it is? When I buy, and I always buy four bananas.
More than, me too, three or four.
It has to be three or four. It can't be six. That's a waste. But in my mind, when I'm buying them, I'm like, for when I'm like on the go, like if I just need to grab it and go, where it's like, when is the last time that happened in this COVID reality that we live in? I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah. Turns out I am just happy to see you because who the hell puts a banana in their pocket when they're going out the door? It's going to bend in half and mush.
They're sensitive.
Today, I felt like I've been inactive, so I went on a bike ride to the base of the M, this trail on the mountain next to my town, and my college is there. And I went around college. I tried to go into the library to find proof that the Missoulian newspaper repeatedly put my address and the names of my parents
on
multiple photos of me dressed like a crossing guard. I know it's there. But these B-shift librarians, they didn't know about microfiche. I thought it was easy to scroll through old newspapers, but you got to go down to the basement, get some film, go to another level, get on this projector thing. Anyway, I did not find the proof, but I'm going to find it.
Well, you know why? Because microfiche is like, it's like asking for a reel-to-reel tape.
That's why libraries are amazing, though. It's still Dewey Decimal System. It's still the same books of old newspapers from the 20s. Like, I did look around at stuff. It is kind of cool, but I spent a long time in the library today. It was just empty, but it just all these memories of college, and I just had this feeling that, like, I wish I could go to college again with the confidence I have now and with access to a computer. I used to go to that library and use their Tandy computers, black screen
the
with
word
green
processor.
Yes. And I would try and finish my papers before I didn't have a disk. I was ill prepared and not organized. And they would like turn off the power and I'd lose papers. That would happen multiple times. And I'd have to go the next day and start over. I spent so much time in that library because it was the only place when I was living in the dorms that people weren't partying and drinking 40s in the hallway. I just realized I really did try hard in college. And
how did it turn out?
I just was bad at writing papers because I didn't have access. It's just all these memories came flooding back.
But did you actually graduate from college?
I did indeed, yeah.
Oh, well, then that turned out good.
It did. I mean, that's the thing. I've never told you. I've never shown my framed diploma to anyone. It's... I want a refund.
Nobody cares. That's because no one cares.
Yeah, I just immediately left town and started doing stand-up with my Bachelor of Arts, you know, draw emphasis in drawing and painting and art history. I've never used it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It was cool to be on campus is all I'm saying. I have not visited my school since I graduated.
The problem with you being on campus with that mustache, though, is that time has passed.
Yes.
You aren't a college student, and you're also loitering in the library with that mustache. Did anything come
up? Everyone there was older than me. That was the other thing. It's like, is this summertime is when non-traditional students go, maybe. It was mostly empty there, but I promise you, all the people I made full eye contact with today with my mustache were my age. Do you think I should shave it? Now I feel like I'm creepy.
Well, you're creepy on a college campus.
I am creepy on a college campus.
In the rest of life, you're fine.
Yeah.
It's hip. People are having those. Also, you just started licking it a bunch. Stop doing that for me. just for this experience.
For the purposes of Zoom. Maybe just I just need to trim it.
For this Zoom meeting that we're having for the next 40 minutes.
You're right. I was just going up to a lot of strangers and saying, I used to go to school here. Do you work for a lady named Chris? She's my neighbor. She used to plant these plants. I guess she's retired now. That was a young person that I freaked out. You're right. I did do it. Damn it.
Yeah.
I almost bought a University of Montana sweatshirt I wanted to represent. It was just fun to experience that. But I will not be able to walk tomorrow because I did run up this trail and my legs are not going to work in the morning.
Well, you know, you can take two a leave. That's the great part about modern life is just go ahead and take some medicine.
I think I will. I think I will.
Perfect.
Yeah, I'll be fine. You're right. Why am I getting worried about the future of soreness?
Do you want to tell everybody about your golf tournament that you, on the last episode, you tried to fit it in and we wouldn't really let
you
tell it?
I know, I really, really forced it. I really did. We don't have to talk about it. It was very fun. It was beautiful. I was up in Big Sky, Montana. A lot of old football players that from the 70s, I didn't know who they were. And
were they still big? Were they meaty?
Yes.
Were they,
muscular guys in their 60s.
Hot. And, yes.
And they were sweet. I did stand up for all of them. That sounds kind of scary. And for a lot of the sponsors.
After? Before?
Before the tournament. There was a night of stand up. And and so there was a guy that got offended with some COVID joke I have about what's more Christian than letting other people die for your sins is the punchline. And he was like, boo. He said, boo. And I showed up the next day and he was the guy. He was the boss of these plumbers that I golf with the next day. That exact guy that heckled.
Wait, was he on your golf team?
Yes. And he had a big cigar and he seemed like a conservative guy. And then by the end of the game, we are lifting each other up. We're hugging. I've never done so many fist pounds. We jumped up and down in a circle hug when we won. And it was really good for me, I think, to bond.
Sure.
Because those were real men. They have boilers licenses and...
Now, do you think that guy came around on your joke? Or do you think he just, the love of the sport and the fact that you guys won covered over the joke?
I know how to turn it off and just be around. Yeah, you know, I'm pretty serious when I'm golfing. And I was just nice to these guys. I killed them with kindness. And then they were my friends by the end.
Nice.
It was a nice exercise. And then in the end, they put all the scores on the board. And we were by far the lowest score. We totally won.
So what did you win?
$500. Clothing.
For yourself? Or
split amongst the group. You know, it was a fun... It's like a... they did use the word celebrity before my name. And the winners, these four guys, and celebrity Chris Fairbanks. And I was like, it's funny. After all these years, that's what I needed to hear. There was just a lot of, at each tee box, at each hole, they were giving out stuff, shirts and raincoats and hats and
cookies. Oh, like swag, like stuff swag, with people's logos on it?
Yeah. So I got a lot of swag. I got a lot of swag bags.
Nice.
And it was just, it was really great. It was really good for me. And I was happy that I was not intimidated by four guys that were way better. They just didn't make any mistakes. They're very good at golfing, and it made me better. Usually, I am afraid that I'll get nervous and get in my head and then not golf as well. But I did golf better than I usually do, so I...
They raised you up.
Yeah, and it's that confidence thing that I wish I had when I was back in school. I think I want to go back to college. I think I'm going to go.
Don't.
I know.
What are you talking about?
What if I shaved off the mustache and I just I'm like, and I brought my skateboard and I'd be like, hey, all you guys.
This is Chris Fairbanks thinking where you're like, it's better then, so I'm going to twist myself around to try to recapture then. It's not better then. You've just decided that. It's not.
Yeah, right. The minute I would decide to do that, I would panic and back out.
Would hate it. So imagine going to fucking school now. Are you crazy? It's not fun.
I'm just wishing I could have done it differently then. Not that to do it over again, but all those writing classes, all the creative writing classes, all the long papers I wrote, I kind of just phoned it in and did the minimum in it. And then when I graduated, I was like, and started doing stand-up, I'm like, oh, I should have become a writer. I like writing, and I didn't even realize it back then because I was a kid. You're a kid when you're in college, you know.
Right, but if you had realized it back then you would have never done stand-up.
Right.
Like all those things have to happen that like, it's like there has to be a floor so there can be a ceiling. So like, it wouldn't have meant that you would have become a writer, right? Because if you had been like taking writing classes and gotten all serious about that, you would have rebelled as Chris Fairbanks would have, and you would have gone on and become a construction worker or
maybe
whatever. Like, it's almost like you had to phone it in and then go off and be a stand-up to walk away from it.
I'm more comparing it with the fact that I was there as an art major, and you had to spend time in the studio. You had to finish your paintings. And I took that all seriously. And I came out of college with full confidence as an artist, not as someone that confidently can do it as a business and ask people for money that is worth my time, but the actual doing the art. I wondered if I had spent more time writing, if I had come out of college, like, I'm a writer, I know how to do that, because I didn't realize it. I still haven't realized it. That's all I'm saying. But you're right. Maybe I would have rebelled and become some plumbing golfer.
Well, also,
plumber golfer.
It reminds me of the last conversation we had with Andrew Michon, where it's like, is this a simulation? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So should I have done this? Should I have done that?
I know.
It doesn't matter. It just doesn't. So it's like the past that we all have is what it was. And no one had, like, you're really good at pretending everybody else has it great and you have it bad.
That's why I
like
quarantine.
And then going from there.
Yeah.
So like you do that all the time. You're thinking, and what I've heard you say over the years is that kind of thing where you romanticize what is impossible to recapture.
Yeah, yeah.
So the next thing I see you doing is like you come back home, go to LA Community College, you're taking a writing class and you fucking hate the teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's your new thing. And then you just wasted $300
or
however much it costs. And now you're mad and telling yourself you're not a writer. Like,
right.
Like, you just have to go with the flow in terms of that experience was what it was. Because I had the same thing where I know what I did in college, which was essentially fuck around and then get kicked out, was a waste. It was a waste of my parents' money. Somebody else could have taken my spot.
Yeah.
Somebody that gave a shit, whatever. And that was wasteful of me and bad of me. And I lived in that like reality of I'm bad because I did that for so long until I finally one day was like, now I am a like legitimate TV writer. So I think I can let go of whatever got me here. Like, it's no longer a bad thing because it got me to where I am now.
Yeah.
And like, you're a person who gets paid to bullshit like this into a microphone.
Right.
Like, that's a pretty good place to land.
I realize it every day. And it's also why I will continue to live in Los Angeles and do this with you. I love it. I do.
Do it on stage.
And of course. And I often wonder, hey, could I live in Montana and still be a comic? I wouldn't be practicing enough, so I can't do it. I'm just getting nostalgic more than anything. I'm not having regrets necessarily. I just went through campus and I was like, it brought back good memories. I didn't want to make it sound like I was like, oh, I blew it. That's not what I was feeling. I just started talking that way right now.
Oh, okay.
I actually had a nice experience.
I can only go on what you're saying.
Yeah, I know.
I can only take the facts as I'm hearing them.
Yeah, it's just a different life that I was revisiting. Like I've been asked by my old friend is like the media arts head of that department. He asked me to teach a Photoshop class a few years back. And I was like, I could do that. I could go teach a class. And yeah. I saw how much work had to go into it and how little it paid. And I was like, maybe I'll just keep doing what I'm doing.
That is a very fun exercise, though, of like, could I, like for a while when I thought in 2016, when my house was in foreclosure and I was like, I think I'm just going to put my dogs in the car and drive to Petaluma and never look back. And then I was like,
God,
where
will
I?
Very long ago.
No, it was not.
And that was when you had all the tax, like you were ignoring tax stuff. And so was I. And we needed someone to hold our hand through all that tax stuff. That was, man, really
horrifying.
And look at us now.
At that time, well, but the point I was making is I was doing that and thinking, okay, I can just go live at my dad's house. Like I know he won't kick me out. I have a place I could actually go. And my family is all up there. And that actually would be nice. It'd be nice to be around people who know me, who know me as who I really am, and not this kind of like pretend city girl act I've been doing for the past 25 years. I'm like, I'm in LA and I don't give a shit about anything. And then my sister's like, shut up and get in the car. So like, it's very comforting to be at home.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, I could work at Starbucks. They give you insurance. Like there's, you know, there's pluses here. But I truly realized that's pretty much the only job I could get or some favor job of like a relative. But other than that, I'm not qualified in any other city besides Los Angeles and parts of New York. But like, I can't make a living, a meaningful living for myself anywhere else because of the fuckery that I've chosen to completely go full bore on in this town. And that's kind of like, well, then I better just hang out and see if I can solve any of these problems and fucking see what I can do about this.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad I made the decisions I made. But while I was on campus, I also walked into a room. I wanted to look at the pool tables in there because I think my dad and stepmom should be playing pool. They're both good at it. And I just ran into my good friend that was installing sign like vinyl on the wall. And years ago, he asked me if I wanted to start a sign company with him. And my other friend, Andrew, was in there. And that was sort of like seeing me in there. They were putting up stuff on the wall that they had designed. And I liked that kind of work. That's what I was doing when I left. And, you know, it was just kind of cool to see that. But it's not regrets, just looking at a version of my life that I was leading for a while and I could still be doing it. It's more just interesting.
It's almost like the Gwyneth Paltrow movie Sliding Doors, where if you had just stepped that way.
I can't believe I didn't bring up Sliding Doors.
Your favorite film, where that's the life you would have been living. I mean, like making signs, I love that idea because it's a trade. It's always needed.
Yeah.
It involves the arts, but you get paid. You don't have to rely on, like, it's a consistent trade. Real job.
Yeah.
And yet you get to be artistic. We have a friend, my friend Amy O'Neill, who lives in Wisconsin. She for a while, because she's also a fine artist, and she for a while got a job making the signs at a like very boutique fancy butcher shop.
Oh wow.
So she would like hand paint the little like ribeye $5.99
sure,
or whatever.
Sure. Even just permanent paintings on a chalkboard and then they can write the specials that
day. Or she would do, I think she was doing the little cards that would go into the like a refrigerator case. And then she also did stuff on the wall.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is the greatest feeling of this is almost like back to the Renaissance when artists would get paid because their art is useful and people would be like, yes, I want my shit to look good, make it look good, as opposed to like these days where you can print up anything. Somebody hand painting a sign.
You're right. And that is always kind of what I wanted to do and why I get excited when someone really passionately does it at a Trader Joe's and there's little drawings where there's gourds and they draw a pumpkin and like someone actually put time into all the artwork. I love doing that. That's what I did in Austin and painted some signs. that ultimately fell off buildings and crushed cars, but it's not my fault it gets that windy, you know.
You didn't make the sign, you painted the sign.
I painted the sign, but I chose the heavy wood. It was 4 by 16 feet, 2 4 by 8 pieces of treated plywood. I had to hoist it up there with a pulley system. And then it was at a pet store. I maybe already told this story. I'm sure I did. But I spent a long time painting all these dogs.
It seems familiar, but here's the thing. Sorry, just a pre-question before you go into this.
Yes.
Is why in God's name would they get the painter to be the engineer? That seems like a mistake that you should have called at some point. Hey, I can't do this.
Right. I first had just painted their windows a few Christmases, you know, just some dogs wearing some bows. And then they said, we need a new sign. And I said, I can do that. So I bought I said, I can do all that for you. They did, someone did help me and they helped me install it. But we used the rotten A-frame that was the previous signs. That was probably wood from the turn of the century. It was just old rotten wood. That gave way in the wind, and the sign I made, to no fault of mine, crushed a car quite legitimately, crushed and shattered the windows. And there was just one of the dog heads kind of came off the sign. I cut out the top of the schnauzer's head. It just kind of came off, and that it was just crushed, and the little top of the dog head was in the parking lot. And I drove by and they weren't open and I saw it and I saw the car and I called. It was so awful. They were so sweet about it.
Thank God.
I was not held liable. I don't know.
Thank God.
But I did put it up there with metal. Anyway, it's so funny that was, and meanwhile, I'm like going to my first open mics. It's just funny that my life took that turn. And today seeing my friends doing that, making those signs, it was really...
This has been an unbelievable Chris Fairbanks retrospective episode.
I feel like, one, I feel like lately, and you don't have to agree, but you can if you... I feel like lately I've been interrupting you more than ever. You'll start saying something and I get so excited like I used to with improv to tell a joke that I'll jump in when you're actually making a pretty good point.
And poor I've joke. Done...
And I'm like, God damn it. Or you're in the middle of your joke. And I've noticed that. And I got a message from someone that was sweetly worded. And they said, I noticed that's been happening.
And, oh, no.
Yes. It's someone that's...
Like a telegram?
It's the,
was it from me?
The person that called me a twat. But I now take their advice and some of their criticism. And we have a friendly back and forth. It's actually someone that I look to for guidance now.
Okay.
This person that called me a twat. I'm kidding. That's a handful of people. I read the messages, you know. But I have been doing that, and I'm sorry I've been interrupting you. Like,
oh, that's okay.
One-on-one like this, we have a rhythm, but sometimes there's a guest and you, and I haven't said anything for a while. I Tourette-singly blurt out.
You panic.
You're in a nice conversation with each other about women's rights, and I'll be like, I'll just fucking say a dad joke, and it's been happening. And I can't blame COVID. I'm just watching it, okay? And also, the other thing is, like I just now did, I've been hijacking with my stories.
Listen, let me respond.
Please, will you talk?
Well, first of all, I was just kidding about that because we have to talk about something and I truly haven't been anywhere and you are in a completely different city doing stuff. So I did not mind any of that. I was just giving you the biz.
I know. It didn't seem like serious business. It seemed more like the monkey variety.
It was totally monkey business.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a thing I'm used to as a female comic. It's a very, very common thing. And I think it's because male comics do that to each other all the time and don't give a shit. And so it's like a vibe thing that I think when you aren't talking and other people are talking, you get like a little panic of like, am I disappearing? I have to be in this. You know what I mean? That's the sense I have. I don't get it as a negative. I don't think you don't care. Like, I know that you're a great guy, a good person, good at comedy, blah, blah, blah. So to me, I just feel like it's, I get it. Where like my version of that, because I just was raised like interrupting was like a very big deal in our household. And I know in talking to other people and especially since I've been podcasting, and I'm not saying I don't interrupt, I absolutely do, but I'll do it sometimes just because I know if I don't, I won't get in here. Like, I feel like Andrew Michon was doing that because I think you and I were having so much fun on that last episode.
Yeah, yeah.
With Andrew Michon, but yes. Also with each other.
I get excited. That,
yes, it's fun when you talk to a person who gives you fun ideas and then you're like, oh, listen to what you just made me think of is what is the vibe I get.
And in a minute, we're going to be on to another topic and I have to say it now. And I'm sorry, but I'm going to interrupt because in a second, and then if it falls flat, oh man. Not only have I interrupted, but I really deflated the moment.
My thing is that the thing that you do that it makes me laugh, but I usually will interrupt you if you start doing it, is when you do your joke and then people have the response that they have. And then you keep talking through it and you start explaining why this was a mistake and you're going down. And you verbally go down a shame spiral. And I usually will cut you off on one of those because I'm like, it doesn't need to be that big of a deal.
Yeah, we don't need
you're like, but that's a mistake. But I guess that's how I feel. And that's why I'm a bad person. And you just keep on commenting on it.
Oh God, I have to do some forensic analysis of the crime that I've committed.
You don't though, because this is, it's because of Zoom. You in the car, it goes a different way because we are in our each other's company. And so we get, the rhythm is on. But Zoom sucks shit.
It does. And it will continue to for a while. But to everyone that wants us to be back in the car, riffing with passerbys on bikes and going, talking about buildings you can't see, we would have gotten someone sick this month, Karen or I.
Yeah.
It's still happening, and,
It's happening just as strongly, if not worse, than it's been happening in the past. It's just that people aren't being hospitalized as badly on this go-round.
Yeah, yeah, which is great.
But also, what if we get in the car and somebody gets fucking monkeypox? Like, that's the new thing where I'm just like, you got to be kidding me with monkeypox.
I haven't looked into it yet. I don't know much about the monkeypox.
Monkeypox is...
Oh, boy. For
some people, it's spread through sexual intercourse, but then also it's now spread through, like, if you touch someone that has the sores or their clothing, there's all kinds of, it's expanding. That's why they just...
Have you seen pictures of it? Is that what's on my eyes?
Oh.
Do I have monkeypox on my eyes?
If you had monkeypox, it wouldn't just be on your eyes. It would be all over your face.
Yeah, no, this is just my eyes. And I've had this before. When I would get strep throat and chronic infection, you know, it's inflammation.
Yes.
It's a reactive, you know, sometimes it's my joints, other times it's eye bumps. And
so you know what it is. You know,
I guess, but it did immediately when, like you, I was like starting to feel sick and I was just eating to make sure I still could taste. But that's right when these eye bumps started coming. And I'm sorry I keep saying eye bumps. That's real gross. It's just a reddish, it's a little rash around my eyes. It's no big deal.
It's an eye rash, but you don't, that's a concern.
Yeah,
but if you've
gotten
it before, then you know what it is.
I have had it in the past, yes.
That's good. That's very good news. You don't want like a new patch of something in this monkeypox era.
I don't have in this era and in my life room for new rashes and new eye ailments.
Nope.
Ailments. Oh my gosh. I was meaning to talk to you about this because I was just looking. It turns out I am slightly, even though we were just talking about it, saying no big deal, who cares? This is a simulation. I do like the Webb telescope photos of different galaxies.
Okay.
It did excite me and I do think there's aliens, but I don't care. I don't think I'll ever get to meet one.
Okay. Maybe you already have.
Yeah, maybe I have. Maybe they kissed me on the eyes and gave me a spacely rash.
And now they're taking over.
But you on Twitter retweeted a video of my friend here in Missoula. He's not even my friend. He is a Missoula person that has been a viral YouTube person since the beginning.
Oh, and I think you mean he is a Missoula celebrity.
He is, and he started VidCon. And my friend is CEO of VidCon, Colin, and my good friend Andy Chemis is their photographer. VidCon is a Missoula-based thing that is huge. They have it in San Diego at the convention center and everything. I just, it was such...
Is it all videos?
What's that?
What is it?
Oh, it is a celebration of people. Like, if we went there, we probably wouldn't know anything. And there'd be a line out the door for some Twitch video game famous kid or TikTok.
Oh.
Or it is like influencer based, like everything but what we've, our little bubble of live performance. And I don't think they have podcasting at it as far as I know. Maybe they do. I don't know much about it. But
I know that Hank Green has a podcast.
Yes.
Because I interacted with him long ago when our podcast, when My Favorite Murder first started and was popular. And so whatever he said to me, I can't remember what the interaction was. It was very minor, but people got super excited that we talked to each other,
yeah,
like our listeners who also loved him. They always love that when,
yeah,
when something combines where it's,
yes,
like two things I like.
Yeah.
But I didn't know who he was because I am old and only pay attention to British procedurals.
Right.
But then started paying attention, and he's so smart and great.
He is.
And that video he made about why that these pictures are so important is the greatest.
Yeah, he is. He's very smart, and he knows about a lot of different things. And as the more, because I just follow him on Instagram, I don't, but he is someone that has been a YouTube, I think they, VidCon came out of him learning what it meant to be a viral YouTuber.
Like, oh,
he was a vlogger person that, and from my town. So today when I was being nostalgic about my past, that came up too. Like, could I be a comedian? What would I do if I did live in Montana, this place that makes me happy to be? So it's not insane that I think, could I live here? Not as a way of running away, but he is someone that has wildly been successful. And he's from Missoula. He's from here and he lives here. And this is,
yeah,
not a big town, you know.
It's, well, just, and also it's not running away, especially these days when quarantine happened and a bunch of people were like, I'm not living in LA anymore,
yeah,
where there's, I'm not going to be by myself. There's nowhere to go, blah, blah, blah. Like, a lot of people moved back to where they're from because you can now. We can,
yeah,
you can Zoom,
eye-opening.
You can,
we're
work
learning
from home.
This. Yeah, you, yeah, can do it.
And,
yeah,
a lot of people made big life adjustments, realizing I'm living in a town that's kind of nasty and very lonely,
yeah,
and my family is nowhere to be found.
And family, yeah,
yeah, it's not like, it's not the fat of the land 90s, when, like when I moved to LA and it's like, yeah, dad, pay for me to go try to be a stand-up comic. It's like, it's, those days are long gone.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm more confronted by. But it's with promise and excitement, I think, about coming here. But I also, I like living in Los Angeles. I do. I'm right in the middle. I can't decide. I will be happy doing either, is what I need to realize.
You know what it is? I think you just keep doing what you're doing, which is going there for big stretches,
yep,
of time,
yeah, yeah,
when,
yeah,
you can, and then seeing what happens.
Yeah, you do that too. You like, yep, to go home.
I love to go home.
Yeah.
Well, also, I love my family that literally, missing my mom, of course, but my family and the family that we used to live next door to are all still there. And the family, I don't want to dox them or whatever, but
yeah,
that we spend the most time with still live on the property that,
yeah,
we all grew up on. So going home is literally about as nostalgic as you can get because we're right in that spot, but it's all changed around us. So we can see our old house that we grew up in from age like 2 to about 10. We can see in the back of their property. It's so crazy. And then we're all now adults, which is very strange because,
yeah,
truly it's me, my sister, my cousin Stevie, you know, like, and then their kids and how the family's grown. And it's like, it's good to, if you have the kind of family that you want to be with,
right,
you know, it is so helpful and good for your, yes,
yeah,
it's like, it changes me when I go home. It,
yeah,
like helps me immensely.
And a lot of people would be traumatized by it. And so,
yeah,
we're not shoving it in your face, but I liked my life.
Yes. Well, you're lucky. We're very,
yeah,
lucky,
we're
to have
lucky,
places,
yeah,
to go back to.
Yes.
And,
yeah,
if I can get my cousin Stevie to put in a pool, I might move back there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it would be the coolest. It's like out in the middle of farmland in Petaluma. And I'm like, I know it's not hot enough to justify this, but can't we talk about it?
I know.
Can't we make it happen?
On my bike ride, I was looking at these little nooks, these like places that I still, a song or the smell of rain and the sun coming out, little things trigger these properties that I remember. And today I just rode my bike to see if those houses were for sale, or it's just real specific little areas. This is a place I realistically could get a house, you know, that's the other
Absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely. And it's also one of the most gorgeous states in the Union.
It's really pretty.
It's amazingly, that picture you sent Annalise and I is so beautiful.
That
and crazy.
Was from, so I hiked up the M. There's just a big cement letter M on the, and I also figured out an interesting sociological experiment. Like, it always seems like a long hike because I'm always looking at the top. But this time I hiked around the halfway point, or what I decided was the halfway point. I'm like, I'm more than halfway. And I just kept hiking. I didn't ever look up because you can see when you're approaching it. And all of a sudden, it was there. It seemed like it took half the time. So that's what I'm going to do now if I'm hiking. I do not look at the destination up top. That's what makes it take forever.
Eyes down?
Eyes down, looking at your boots.
Do you see any nature? Do you see any animals on a hike like that?
This hike is more like of a grassy a hillside.
Knoll.
Yeah, it's a knoll. It's a knoll. There's a gunman. And no one knew about him until they watched this film. And then I rolled a Zapruder tape.
Is there a book repository on this mountain anywhere?
At the very bottom, there is. There's a book. It's the library. And you have to leave your books in the depository. Oh. But yeah, that's where I went after the hike. That's this whole story's linking up perfectly. But on the hike, you're damn right. And even in my dad's backyard, there has been... The deer have been, it's mating season, y'all. And these baby deer with the Bambi spots on them, perfect, like, are outside my window. You aren't on the Instagram, but I wake up and there's baby deer laying side by side right outside my window. They just, I know they're there in the morning. I open the shades and they look up at me because dangerously they're very comfortable around humans.
Trusting. Oops, sorry, dog's barking.
That's quite all right. I love animals. but there has been some Bambi picturesque cartoon deer just in.
Aww.
And they, yeah, on the hike today, there's deer.
Have you ever had a, like, there's a lot of deer in Petaluma, and especially where we lived, because it's way outside of town. And my dad actually... They did kind of get into an accident because a deer jumped out in front of the car and then he slammed on the brakes and my cousin hit her head. And it was this crazy thing that, like, you know, and he goes, if that's the choice you're making, make sure you don't hurt the people in your car.
Yes.
Hit the deer.
Yes.
Which I was like, oh, that's a rough
one. I know.
One.
And
that's
it's happened to me. I've hit deer.
Have you?
Yeah. It's awful. Ugh, I can't even tell the rest of the story. It was awful.
No, please don't tell
but
me.
But yes, you do have to.
I don't know why I brought this
there,
up.
No, it's important. We're giving good information. Enjoy deer, but also if you see them jump in the road, you kill that deer because you got a loved one and you can't just pull a Karen's arm in front of me like a book bag.
Right.
You got to save the people. It's people first. A lot of people care more about animals, so you're going to be
Or the reaction is just, it's this gorgeous, majestic animal, so slam on your brakes, and then someone's going through the windshield.
Yeah,
like,
I borrowed my dad's car. I had chosen Bozeman, which is 3 hours away, and my dad has a fancy new car, and I was paranoid to drive it. And the whole time, I thought a deer was going to leap onto the hood, because it's a very realistic concern. And in town here, there's deer all around town and they're getting hit all the time. I talked about the deer with the helmet and the deer that has her tongue out and the other deer that has a leg that bends the wrong way. That's because there's just deer in town and they get hit by cars and then they move ahead and they have a weird leg and they start a family. And this is, and I'm not kidding. I'm talking one of these baby deers is the backwards leg deer.
You know why? Because it's not Los Angeles where your body has to be perfect.
Right.
It's Montana where people understand you've been through some shit.
Yeah.
Maybe something's happened to you, but you can still, have a relationship?
Yes, exactly. These people here, they're judged for what's on the inside. A lot of these deer in town.
Really beautiful. So beautiful.
But yeah, I've seen a lot of animals. And there's bears. I'm sure I could go on a bike ride and see a brown bear or a little black bear.
Careful.
But brown bears also can be grizzlies. Let's keep that in mind.
Oh.
And they'll attack you. And a moose, if you see a moose, I've seen mooses before. They'll dance on you just aggressively. They'll come after you.
Yeah, so, I think most animals like that big will be like, get away from me.
Yeah.
In some attack mode manner.
But as soon as we are done here, I'm going up to Flathead Lake, a beautiful lake. It's a mile deep. There's a Flathead Monster. A lot of people think it's a sturgeon. We were talking a little bit about the Loch Ness.
Yes.
Even if it isn't a dragon-like that breaches with a tail, it's a fish that is so big that people have confused it for a monster. There is, because it is such a deep lake that there are, you know, 1,000-pound fish in it.
Yes.
Supposedly.
Okay. And possibly because there is a theory, and this is why I believe in the Loch Ness Monster, that lakes that deep have connective tunnels to each other.
Oh, that's insane to me.
Because Blue Lake is where we used to go on vacation every summer, and it was up in Lake County, so it was like 2 hours away from Petaluma. And we went there every year. And then when I moved to LA, I was staying in Margaret Cho's room in the house that she had with Greg Barrett and all of our other friends.
Yeah, that infamous house.
She had a book in her room called Mysterious California. So I was just reading it because I was trying to pass the time because she was on the road. And I read about it was basically like county by county, they go through all the cryptids and all the weird stuff that is known for each area. And then it said Blue Lake, California, there's basically a Loch Ness Monster in Blue Lake. So it's so deep that no one's been able to measure it.
Right.
And in like the late 1800s, they were having a 4th of July celebration down on one end. It's called the Narrows, is the one end of the lake. And so there was a little, I must have told you this already.
Like the reflection of the fireworks, you could see.
The fireworks were out on a little float.
Uh-huh.
And so the whole town was gathered, and it was probably 500 people, was gathered on that end of the lake.
You haven't told
and
me that.
Watching the float with all the fireworks on it. And in between the float and the shore, a monster came up out of the water, looked at the fireworks, looked at the entire town, witnessed this animal at one time. And they said it basically looked like the Loch Ness Monster.
Put on a giant pair of sunglasses and said, see you later.
Bye, losers.
And so it makes sense now that every time I've water skied on Flathead Lake, when I fall and that boat keeps going and you're alone for 2 to 3 minutes as the boat turns around,
you get the weird feeling.
I feel, now that I know there's underground tunnels.
Yes.
This is a time we could use Hank Green. I'm sure he knows a lot about the Flathead Monster.
This is total bullshit.
But it is, if it is, yes, it's a giant sturgeon, a giant fish. But that's big. That's what I was afraid of. A giant fish that's bigger than me.
Yes.
At least tasting my leg from the knee down.
Just like a little nibble. Wait, how big would you say, like school bus? You know, usually
school
when they're
bus,
talking.
School bus, Karen.
For real?
A smaller bus.
Oh, small bus.
Yeah, not like a
not
full.
Not standard.
Right.
But a fish.
A bus, like a Volkswagen bus.
Oh,
I don't know,
got it.
But a shaped long. Like, that's the thing. I know I've seen blurry photos, and I'm not confusing them for Loch Ness photos. There are
Hold on. What's it called? Flathead
the
Monster?
The Flathead Lake Monster.
Flathead Lake Monster.
Yeah.
This will be worth it.
Yes, it will
for me. And anyone else that wants to join me over here on Google, Flathead Lake Monster. It's the fifth search item. Ooh!
What are you seeing?
It looks like a big salamander.
See, okay. It's
because,
a fish with giant flippers that could be easily confused for salamander-like feet, right?
Oh, right. Those are flippers.
Well,
And then it has the head of like, it has a beak, a long beak.
Yes,
with teeth.
That long. Yes.
And then the back of it has a fish tail.
Yes.
Almost like a mermaid. And then it has like flipper feet, almost like alligator feet, would you say?
Yes. And that's an image I don't even know if you're looking at the same one. I grew up fearing. But that I'm a grown man and I'm confronted by it every time I go in that lake, but we're still going to go out there and my friend has jet skis. They have a hydrofoil, which is like a little surfboard on a fin that's elevates you. So you get on it and you pump and you rise above the water like 3 feet.
That's cool.
And you kind of just, we're going to do a lot of water sports tomorrow and I'm going to try and do that water ski pyramid. We just need a lot of different lengths of rope and the ability to climb on each other while skiing.
I mean, so you're going to need a platform, an elevated platform of some kind.
I just need a group of solid skiers that can climb on shoulders while skiing or kick off the skis and get up on someone else's haunches. I don't know. It's been a dream of mine forever.
I think you can make it happen. I'm looking at a map that says 113 unusual sightings on Flathead Lake between 1889 and 2020.
Yes.
It was compiled by someone named Lainey Hansel. Great job, Lainey, because this is a very readable map. It is a very attractive map. And basically, the sightings, I'm going to send this to you.
Okay.
There are C's, F's, and then dates and times. So either a creature or a fish. And both over 10 feet long.
Oh, for sure.
And they have been sighted all over this lake.
It is literally a mile deep. Like, that's very rare. It's not the biggest lake, but it is like, you know, a third the size of like Lake Tahoe. It's a very large lake and very, very deep. And you know there's shit. You know there's tunnels. You know there's fins. You know there's flippers. You know there's like, you know, that horseshoe-like mouth.
Yep.
Seahorse, I mean, seahorse-like mouth on a lizard-like fish. But even if it is just a 20-foot fish, that scares me.
Yes. Anything big and you're in the water and it's bigger than your hand is bad fucking news because you're at a disadvantage. You don't live in water. You don't know what's going on. So when we were up there one time, my cousin Stevie, who I was talking about before, he's like, come on, swim the lake. So he got in a rowboat and he made me swim from our end of the lake, which was the opposite end, down to the Narrows. And halfway on that trip, which was, I did it there and back. It was kind of cool. I think
how
it was
far
like,
was it?
I mean, I'm sure it's a mile or two. It's not that big of a deal, but it was
great,
fun.
That's though. That would be, I would need my snorkel.
And
goggles.
But halfway through, I got the weird feeling. And I was just like, there's something swimming underneath me. It made me want to scream, but it just made me swim faster. And I'm going to send this to both of you.
There's an Olympic length pool here. And I've been going there. Thursday night is adult swim night. But I always thought I'd be, because I was fascinated by Escape from Alcatraz. And I think of Clint Eastwood swimming in the middle of the night from Alcatraz to the San Francisco,
but just impossible.
It's
so difficult.
It is 150 laps in this pool. So I tried to, I got to
is
like
the distance to Alcatraz from Alcatraz to land.
I got 30 laps on and I was exhausted. You would have to stop and like, but I'm not accounting for, you know, how rough the water would be and the sharks.
How
and
cold.
Cold. I would have to be in a wetsuit. Of course, I'm not going to do it.
Well, but, and those guys that escaped from Alcatraz, who they've never found, they think there's a possibility they're all still alive, or like some of them are still alive.
That's and why it's so interesting to me.
I love it because there at least two of them were brothers, if not all three. I can't remember, but I think definitely two. And they think they went to their own mother's funeral. Like they think there are people who follow that story.
Wow.
Who are like, the reason they think the brothers are still alive is because they think there were three old men at the funeral.
Wow.
And because they're, I love that story. But it would be, if you've ever taken a ferry from San Francisco to Alcatraz or any, have you ever been?
I have indeed, yeah.
Yeah, so you know, like for people that haven't, that water and Northern California ocean water is fucking freezing.
Yeah.
It is so cold, and that's where all the sharks are. Like Stinson Beach, which is right above the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah.
And then,
people
of course, the bay.
Too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Stinson's huge for surfing. But it's there's a shark bite there like once a year, maybe? That's a guess, obviously, because my voice went like this.
Yeah.
But I think it's, they're often.
Twice a year? Actually, as far as shark bites down there under the Golden Gate, is it four times a year?
Could have been, how many? The number goes, as high as this number goes up, your voice has to go up even higher.
You don't even want to hear me suggest there's a dozen bites a year. Dogs will be circling around the neighborhood.
My eardrums. You know, I have to say, and this is, I'm going to right now say a completely unfounded and controversial surfing opinion. I think NorCal surfers are cooler and more hardcore because it is so hard to even get in the ocean.
Of course they are. Yeah. I had a reunion a year ago. We're talking about doing it again up in the Puget Sound. And the water in Washington, of course, we had wetsuits. And I didn't have a hoodie and booties and gloves and everything. But I don't know what I'm doing really surfing. But my friend is very good. He lives outside Seattle. And the water, it looked like it was boiling. And the two waves would just be crashing into each other, creating a third wave. And there was people like surfing and transferring from one wave to another over this transfer of waves. It was chaos. And also, they were all way more hardcore and they were way less like territorial. They probably were like, you guys aren't from California, right? And I'm like, no, Montana. And then they were nice.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I've been turned off by surfing because of the territorial vibe, it's hard to learn anywhere.
There's a little bit to me, unless you are a Hawaiian, the idea of being territorial when it's like, are you getting this from Point Break? Like, are you just doing this because you think you're supposed to do it? Like, are you literally a Dogtown NZ boy? I don't think so. I think you're just a dude.
Yeah, yeah. If you're getting it from Point Break, then I'm sorry, but you're being a bit of a Barney, Howley. So, you're a Barney turtle.
Whereas I think in NorCal, no one has to be territorial because if you don't belong there, you'll probably die in the undertow.
Yeah.
Like truly, it's so unsafe out there. It's
but it's
impressive.
In Hawaii, I was I had been drinking and I was just like body surfing. And this guy came out of nowhere, swam out to the water and put a glow stick around my neck. And then and I'm like, thanks. And he just waved and then swam back at the speed of a motorboat. Because he was like, that guy might drown. So I'm going to put, I'll never forget.
Was he a lifeguard?
He never said anything. He was a civilian, bro.
Was he just partying, bro? And he wanted
just
to party
partying,
with you?
Bro, and he came and put a rave glow stick, snapped it around my neck like a necklace. And I was like, what a thoughtful thing to do.
Yeah. So that they can find you if you go under and are just kind of laying at the bottom?
Yeah. But I mean, I'm a bit of a waterman. I don't like to brag, but I know my way I know my way underwater where you can't breathe.
I know how to get under there and flail around.
Yeah,
and
I'm
come
real
back
calm
up.
And comfortable down where your lungs don't work.
Well, also because I always heard that if two waves are crashing into each other, that is an undertow spot.
Right.
That is like how you can actually recognize where to not be swimming.
Yes, and this time last year when I was getting pulled out and I just had to make sure I knew where we were on the beach and had to maintain that position, but it was very scary.
Yes.
But when you're wearing a wetsuit, you are kind of floating. So it wasn't that horrifying.
That helps you.
But
you know, did I tell you about the story of me and Adrian getting almost pulled under in an undertow? And we had been watching the day before, because it was in that spot in Kauai on the beach in Hanalei. And the day before, we watched a guy have to get rescued by actual lifeguards. And we were like, how embarrassing, that's crazy. And then he must be from London or something.
Yeah.
and it was that kind of thing where it looked okay, but they had put out flags of like, swim at your own risk, whatever.
Yeah.
And so then the next day, we're in the same spot and we go out to do our standing in the water gossiping move.
Yeah, the routine.
And that's our routine. And it's usually very like, once you get past the main break, you're fine. Cause you're out and you're just kind of like floating and bobbing and it's great. Well, it wasn't great. And so Adrian and I were kind of like, these waves are a little, it's a little much for me. I don't want to be out here. So like, I'm not going to do this. So we both said that. And so we both went in at the same time and we were trying to like walk, like our feet were on the sand. So we were walking, but the water was like, you know, past our waist and we couldn't get out. Like we could, the water kept pulling us away and further down the beach.
So to the fish watching below at your ankles, you were moonwalking out to the middle of the ocean.
Yes, exactly. We were moonwalking kind of backwards and and then out. And so we weren't talking to each other. She was a little bit ahead of me and she was like, and it was almost like we were being pulled by a big invisible rubber band back out into the ocean. And I was doing it too, where I was like, the thought went through my head where I'm like, oh, this isn't funny anymore. Now we're the guy from yesterday. And Adrian turned around and goes, what the fuck? And then I got scared because we weren't acknowledging it. And then when she acknowledged it, it was like, holy shit. But we made our way out. And when we got out, I was like, we were all the way down the beach and we had to walk back. And normally I would not walk down a beach in a bathing suit. I would be too, I'm from the 80s. I would be too ashamed of my body. I literally was like, fuck this. I am walking all the way back. I don't give a shit. And we were like, it was like, we were mad at the ocean. We like walked away. We left our friend Janet there. And I found out afterwards, cause I was like, that could have been so embarrassing.
Yeah.
And Adrian goes, oh no, no, no. There are some lifeguards that came down and watched us to make sure we could get out.
Right.
I'm like, oh no, I didn't see the lifeguards, but apparently we got, like they spotted us until they saw that we got free.
Yeah, it's not, yeah, they are watching usually. Then not where we were up in the Puget Sound. There was no
not
one
where
there.
People were surfing the undertow.
That is the, and you try not to panic and you try and stay calm, but I'm a panicker and that's why I'm so scared of surfing. And like you said, when we got out of the water, you think you're in one place waiting for waves. When we got out, we were half a mile from where our pile of clothes were on the beach. Like,
yes,
it's unbelievable how far we had traveled.
It's so fucking powerful. And it's really scary once you, because I'm always like, yeah, I'm from Northern California. I understand how powerful the ocean is. But in Hawaii, it's usually, especially at this beach, it's usually so low key that it seemed like, oh, these are just little waves. That's why we were laughing at the guy the day before, because it's like, oh, could you not get out of the ocean? And then it was like, holy shit, this is like serious business. Like, you don't mess around with that.
And that's not even bringing up the fact, like April Richardson always used to talk about, there being glow-in-the-dark dinosaur fish with unicorn horns and all these, like, they're just space aliens in the water. Add that. So the fact that you can just standard drown.
You can standard drown, but you can also get eaten by basically an old dinosaur that has gotten so good at surviving that it's been around for millions of years. And it just will, you are like a Trader Joe's app, like sitting in the water, your big fat white body. And they're just like, do I want that cream cheese stuffed American? Let's see. Like, they're just like, they're choosing not to kill you every time you're in the ocean.
Oh, look at this pimiento olive with legs. Yummy.
Delicious. This will start me off at the 4 o'clock hour. That's the thing where like when the sun starts to go down, I'm like, everyone has to get out. Cause I'm positive that's when everyone's gonna get eaten by a shark.
Yeah. Yeah. Be careful in the water out there, everybody.
Guys, just please be careful. Land, water,
even if it's
deer,
just a river or a lake or in
any
your tub.
Cryptids are everywhere, including
Don't
your house.
Relax too much. Yeah, your kids in the house when
Never
you're taking
relax.
A bath. Water
be
is
afraid. It, be afraid. Be lightly afraid always.
Of
please.
All water. Even a
all
glass
water
of water.
And all animals.
Yeah, and even a warm bowl of soup. Don't lean forward.
No, 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 no.
It might be your last meal.
You can drown in 2 inches of soup. But remember the old saying?
Always remember, you can drown in 2 inches, just 2 inches of soup. It's just on a Campbell's can, a disclaimer.
Especially if it's any kind of a chowder, you're screwed. You're not getting out of that.
Not only you're drowning, there's a piece of potato lodged in there.
Oh,
you're drowning and choking.
You're choking, you're drowning.
Campbell's Kunky.
Campbell's Kunky will get you.
Yeah, yeah. I had to put that in there. Well, this was fun. We don't need
we
guests.
We did it.
Yeah.
No, we never do. We never have needed them.
Yeah.
But we allow them.
We allow them. And we desire them.
We do. Yeah. We're grateful for them for sure.
We are grateful for them. Thank you to all of our guests in the past. But you were not needed today, is my point.
True. We can do it with you and we can do it without you.
We got this. Well, this was fun. Good to see you, friend.
Yeah, you too. Enjoy your
Waterski pyramid that will be executed perfectly.
Thank you. Good luck with it. Please send pictures to me and Andrew Michon. Remember, that was the promise that was made.
Yes.
Okay.
And I will.
Say hi to the Flathead Lake Monster for me.
Oh, I will. I'll shake its little fin. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYN-AR! This has been an Exactly Right production.
Produced by Annalise Nelson.
Mixed by John Bradley.
Artwork by Chris Fairbanks.
Theme song by Karen Kilgariff.
Follow the show on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Dynar Podcast. That's DYNAR Podcast.
For more information, go to exactlyrightmedia.com.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Follow Do You Need a Ride on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen so you never miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, rate and review the show.
And visit the exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Do You Need a Ride merch.